Today is Wednesday, March 18th, the 27th day of the month of Adar. This is the women's Chumash Shir. We're in the middle of Bereishit Perek, Parshas Noach. Okay, Rabotai. We are in the middle of Perek Chet of Sefer Bereishit. And last week, we had seen that a Noah in Perek Chet of Sefer Bereishit, Pasuk Zayin, sent the Orev, and we compared it to the description that is found in Pasuk Zayin. We compared it with the description with Pasuk Chet, highlighting the difference between the Orev and the Yonah. And we relied almost exclusively on the interpretation of the Orachayim. However, today, I'd like to just reread Pasuk Zayin from a more of a pshat point of view, not Orachayim's understanding of what we understood last week, and just read the text from a simple pshat point of view. I'm reading again Pasuk Zayin. Vayishalach et ha'orev. Now, to send as an agent, shlichut, has no application to an animal, to a bird. So when you have a distinction between, as we pointed out last week in Parshat Yitro, where it says vayishalach as opposed to vayishlach, so when you're dealing with a human being, it makes a very big difference as to what the tone is. Because a human being understands emotion, understands an angry reaction. So when it's vayishlach, it's a softer tone. Vayishalach is a harder tone. It's a different binyan in grammar. So when you're dealing with a human being, those distinctions are applicable. However, when you're dealing with a bird, it really makes no difference to the bird, or the bird's not really sensitive to vayishlach and vayishalach. So I just want to present one thing. So the reason why it says vayishalach both for the bird and for the orev, because people ask that question according to Yerachayim, why does it say vayishalach only with the orev? Based on his explanation that he was angry at the orev. Remember what he said. So why does it say vayishalach by the yonah? And the simple pshat is because when he sent the bird, he had no expectation that it was coming back. When you sense as an agent expecting something to come back, it's vayishlach. Vayishalach is you're sending them away, never expecting them what? To return. That's why the word vayishalach appears by both. Because Noach is sending the bird, never expecting them to return. Why would they never return? Neither. Because there's plenty of place to land. So that's one second. Vayetze yatzo vashov. So according to the simple interpretation, it means that the orev came back to the teva right away. Yatzo vashov. Did not want to go anyplace. And never actually made an effort to do what? To see what the conditions of the land is. It's vayetze yatzo vashov. Went out and came right back. And therefore, Noach understood that this bird, maybe he's a dummy or something, he doesn't understand why I'm sending him out. So what does he do? Switches to a different bird, to a yonah. So again, from a simple pshat point of view, it's not that the orev had something against him. There's a dialogue, a discussion, nothing like that. It's a very simple way of reading the text. Vayishalach et ha'orev, vayetze yashov yatzov. He went out, came right back, did not accomplish his mission. Hence, vayishalach et ha'yonah meito. Yes.
Because obviously
Okay, so he would have come back and forth and back and forth until what? Until what have happened? Until the water dried. So that's going to take months. He would circle back and forth until when? Until all the water dries up. You know how long it's going to take for the water to dry up? You know when you have a flood in the basement how long it takes. Everybody knows how long. Can you imagine a flood of the proportions that the Torah describes? It's not happening in 2 minutes. So he would have come back and forth, ad yevoshe samayim al aretz. Until when? In other words, would there be any time that the Orev would go about fulfilling Noah's intention? Would there be any time that the Yod? No. Therefore what? Therefore Vayishalach et Yonah. The Ad Yivoshes Ramayim is just telling how long this Orev would be Yatzov Vashov. How long would he be Yatzov Vashov? Every single time Noah sent him, he came right back. Every time. What was he wearing? It's like Ad Bias Goyot Tzedek. You know, until Mashiach is going to come. Well, the way you want to describe something that it's going to be for years and years and years, it's Ad Yevoshes Hamayim Al Aretz, because that ain't happening too fast. Yes.
Just to, I guess this makes sense what you're saying, that Lishaleach is the only way you can send an animal, because you can't send it to something.
Right.
Away. So I looked about the Seir La'azazel, and it does say Lishalach Oto.
La'azazel.
Yeah, Lishalach Oto.
Yeah, good, because you're not expecting the Azazel to come back.
It was sent.
It was Lishalach Oto.
To send it away.
Right, it's sent away. Yes, good.
But does it have a negative connotation? I'm sending you out of here.
Yeah, it has a forced connotation.
Yes, a forced connotation.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's simply that Pasuk. But then there is a word in Pasuk Chet that various commentaries have reacted to, and that is Vayishalach et Hayonah Meito. Meito. And in fact, the phrase Meito also appears. Where is that pasuk? Yeah. It also says in the next pasuk, Vatashav Elav El Hateva. In Pasuk Tet. Vatashav Elav El Hateva. So it could easily have said Vayishalach et Hayonah. It could easily have said in Pasuk Tet that Vatashav El Hateva, and the Yonah returned to the Teva. It's exactly, it's a personalized one. In other words, there was some type of a relationship, of affection, that Noah had for this particular Yonah. And that's simply from a text point of view. Meito. He had some type of a relationship, not a physical relationship. He was, this is his, exactly, this was Noah's pet in the Teva. So as his pet, you know, he may have been treated a little more nicely. You know, he was maybe fed first. The way people have attachments to pets, they're pretty attached to pets, you see. It's 12 degrees outside and there are people walking their dog. They must be have an attachment to the dog. Otherwise, why would you? It's 12 degrees outside and you're walking the. Yeah.
The
yes.
Harshness of
Vayishalach
rather than Vayishalach.
Right.
Yonah had to force him to go from him because Yonah saw that the Orev was back, that the Yonah didn't want to go. That the Yonah saw that either the Orev didn't come back or that there was no place to land, that Noah had to kind of push him to go because the Yonah just didn't want to go. He saw the Orev wasn't coming back. And
maybe he was...
I'm putting feelings into...
But the Orev came back.
Yeah, but he came back and forth. But last week we said that he, last week in front of Clara Chaim, we said that he didn't come into the table.
Correct.
So maybe the owner didn't see him.
Okay.
Know what happened to
him. Okay, if you want to maintain Arachaim's, and I emphasize it was not the pshat. But that's a good read. Yes, that's very nice. Why the condition? By Yeshua, he had to call.
Had to
send them out. That's good. 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 I hope it kept you up all week.
I was afraid to leave him.
You see, a whole week you're thinking about it.
Huh?
A whole week you're thinking about it. That's good. Good. I'm glad. I'm glad. I hope you didn't burn the chalent. You know. I'm glad. Good. That's good. It's a good read on the Orach Chaim. It is. It is.
I think the young
yes. Okay. Okay. Good. Very good. Very good.
Exactly. That there was a relationship.
Right.
That's why he took him back in. And that fits in with
Vayishlach Yado Vayikacheha. To take him. He's got exactly. He's got a relationship with it. He doesn't just come in. He sticks out his hand. He welcomes the Yonah back. That's correct. The Netziv points out on that particular phrase, "Vayishlach yada vayikacheha," is that he knew that if the bird came back, obviously he didn't find any resting place, so he must be cold, maybe a little hungry. So he takes him and puts him in his hand, and he warms him up, and says the Netziv, "This is a meser, a rule." That any time you send an agent, and the agent has not fulfilled his or her shlichut, but not because of a reason that they're at fault, you have a responsibility to what?
Nice.
To act like a mensch. That's exactly what the Netziv says. To act like a mensch. That if you send somebody an agency, and the person does not fulfill the agency, but it's beyond their control, don't blow off steam on them. Hey, how come you didn't do it? Yonah doesn't, Noach doesn't blow off any steam against, not that it would help blowing off steam against the Yonah. But anyhow, the Netziv claims that when you say, Vayishlach Yado Vayikacheha, is a demonstration of super sensitive concern for this bird that went out on a mission and beyond its control was unable to fulfill the mission. The Netziv points that out. As a messer for all human beings. Yeah. Now, before we take a look at the Ramban, there is a question which Abarbanel asks, and if you know the style of the Abarbanel, you know he starts off every parsha with 80 questions. And then he just has one long run-on paragraph for 28 pages, and in the middle he says, and with this, I resolve questions number 1, 2, and 3. Not a run-on sentence keeps going. With this, I answered questions 4, 5, and 6. That's the style of Abarbanel. So I just want to present his question to you, because I didn't even look at his answer, because I didn't have time to go through the whole song and dance. But the question is an important one. If you look at because it was based on something that we read and something that we will read in just a second. We are told that the Teva in Pasuk Dalid, the Torah tells us exactly the day when the Teva comes to rest. Vatanach HaTeva. Where did it come to rest? Al Harei Arat. When did it come to rest? On the 17th day of the 7th month. 17th day of the 7th month, starting the count from Tishrei. So what month is that?
Nisan.
17th day of the month of Nisan. Very nice. Then, V'hayu hamayim haloch v'chazor ad ha-chodesh ha-asiri, until the 10th month, ba-asiri be'echad ha-chodesh. 10th month, first day of the month, niru rashei ha-harim. The mountain peaks have already become visible. Now there are three time frames that I mentioned. Vayehi miketz arba'im yom. 40 days lapse. 40 days lapse. No, he's not asking about the date. It is Chodesh Tammuz. Is there any significance to the fact that Noah observes the mountain peaks being exposed on a particular date, and exactly 40 days later he decides to what? To open up the Teva and send the Orei.
If it rained for 40 days, it would stop.
What?
I'm thinking if it rained for 40 days,
it would. Okay, but
that's how long it takes for the trees to
grow. Because it had stopped raining much longer already. Because the Torah already told us that the Teva came to rest on the top of Ararat. Why did the Teva come to rest on the Mount of Ararat? Because it stopped raining. Throughout the Mabul, the Teva was not on the Mount of Ararat. Where was it? It was floating in the water. The waters obviously had receded to some extent, so he's no longer floating. So we are told that the rains had stopped, and the boat, the Teva, is now floating on top of Mount Ararat. Then we are told, 3 months later, the Niru Rashei Haharim. Then we are told, exactly 40 days later, he sends the Orev. Then we are told in Pasuk Yud, Vayachel Od Shivat Yomim Achirim. In Pasuk Yud, Vayachel Od Shivat Yomim Achirim. What does that mean? And another 7 days. Good. So tell me where it says he waited 7 days. Where does it say he waited 7 days? What? So it doesn't really say that he waited the first time 7 days, but because the Torah uses the word Od, apparently, man, not only did he wait 7 days the second time, but he waited 7 days the first time. 7 days after what? After the Orev came back. 7 days. Asks Abarbanel, is there any significance to the fact that Noach waited exactly those number of days? Why does the Torah have to report that he sent out the Orev 40 days after it, after the mountaintops were available, exactly 40 days? Then he waited exactly 7 days after the Orev didn't do a job. Then he waited another 7 days. Any significance to the 40, to the 7, to the 7? Yes? What? Okay, good. Perhaps. Again, I didn't see his answer. I'm just telling you, he raises the question, and it's a good question. Because if he just sending out there, who cares how many days he waited after he spotted what? The tops of the mountain. Who cares? Does it really make a difference that he waited exactly 7 days after the Orev came back to send the Yonah? And that he waited exactly 7 days to send the... Why couldn't it be 6 days, 8 days? What's a nafkamina? What? Again, the answers, I don't know. You have to think about them. But there has to be significance to the fact that if the Torah reports that he waited 40 days and 7 days and 7 days, there's got to be some significance to the fact that these numbers are... Otherwise the Torah would not have reported it. Yes? What is that?
17th of Tammuz.
No, it's not the 17th of Tammuz. No, because we're counting from the wrong... We're starting from Tishrei. So it was 17th day of the 7th month, but starting from Tishrei, not Tammuz. It's not, that was Nisan. Then it said it was the 10th month, so you have Iyar, Sivan and Tammuz, then yeah, this mountain peaks are observed on Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. So I'm just telling you, he raises that particular question.
Right.
Yes?
The 7 days, the recreation of the world. And the
that's what someone just suggested. Yes, yes. It's a good point.
Okay.
That he's in effect going through, and in fact, there is a midrash that takes the parallel one step further. What did God create on day number one? What did God create on day number one? Light. Or. Good. So these go Vayihi Or. Or Vayihi Or. What did Noach do? Vayiftach Noach et Chalon HaTeva. He opens up the light to create what? To create light. And then what? Start a period of 7 days. So when he opens up the Teva, what is he suggesting? What's the Midrash suggesting? He's trying to recreate the world. The first thing that God creates is the phenomena of light. How does he create the phenomena of light? By opening up the Teva, opening up the Chalon, and letting natural light come into the Teva. And now indeed, 7 days pass by. He's looking to what? Recreate the world. But correct. That's what he's waiting to see. He has to count against it. Because the first time, what happened? When the Orev didn't do anything, he knew that what? Nature has not yet set itself in. He's got to wait another 7 days. Yes. That's exactly what the Medrash says. Yes.
So if they compare Moshe 40 days, 40 nights, being a lupo with Noah standing on the
mountain. I'm sure somebody does that. I haven't seen it, but there's... I wouldn't be surprised if there was some type of parallel. Some type of parallel. Yes. Good. Now, I passed out a sheet, and I want to take a look at two Rambans, but one after we read the Pasuk. So let's just read Pasuk Tet and Yud. There you go. Let's read Pasuk Tet. V'lo yatz, v'lo matza, hayona manoach l'kafragla. The Yonah did not find any resting place for to rest on. There is an olive leaf in her mouth. Noach understood that what? The waters had indeed receded, lightened up. Okay. So somebody asked the question last week, how is it possible that there is an olive tree that hasn't been destroyed? What would you imagine if you have a flood of the proportions that we had? Yesterday we had a little wind and there were trees all over Teaneck falling. Can you imagine what happens with 40 days and 40 days? Let's take a look at the story about how this tree survived. Because according to many, what happened to every single tree during the Mabul? They were gone, uprooted completely.
Been a new one from a seed.
So, okay, it could be. Let's see. I want to show you two Rambans. Two Rambans. And the Ramban will quote an interesting Medrash as well. But first, where it says on the top, the smaller one, Kuf Samach Gimel, it says on the page on the top. It says on the page, Kuf Samach Gimel, on the top of the page. V'lo matz'ah hayonah manoach. This is the first time that he sends the Yonah out. And it comes back because it did not find any resting place. Now, what? I have plenty of sheets. What was already perfectly visible at this time? Mountaintops. So the Ramban's going to ask, what do you mean, lo matz'ah hayonah manoach? There's plenty of place to stay on the top of the mountains. Okay, let's just. I'm just raising the question. Okay, the Torah reports that the mountaintops were perfectly visible well before. Here, the Torah says, "Kilatz lo matzah manoach lekafra." What does manoach lekafra agla mean?
Resting
it for its feet. It's flying around too long, so it could have stopped. It could have stopped on any mountain. Could have stopped. Could have stopped in Harriman State Park on the mountains. Like the Maganav used to be. Says the Ramban, Ein minhag ha'ofot lanuach b'rashei ha'harim ha'gvohim al ha'aretz. It is not the custom of birds to rest on the top of high mountains. Very nice. How did the Ramban know this?
They're only in trees. Some birds don't walk on the ground.
Oh, okay. Okay, right. That's what he says. V'ein ilan sham. There was no tree to rest upon. Okay, so that in itself is a remarkable statement, the Ramban says. I'm telling you, birds don't rest on the top of mountains. Ever saw a bird on top of a mountain? Never saw a bird? Okay. Okay. Af kihi biyos hamayim al pnei chal haaretz. Especially on account of the fact that there was water throughout the land, so there were no trees visible. V'lachein lo matza hayanach manoach asher yetavla. Wasn't good enough. There was plenty. There were resting places. There were resting places. Appalachian mountains and these mountains. There were plenty of mountains of
Catskills.
The Catskills. Exactly, right. Hunter Mountain. Everybody goes to Hunter Mountain, right? People go skiing in Utah, right? There are plenty of mountains available, but not for the Yonah. Leman Ashayitavla. Ube'eit heiraot hi'ilanot. Once what? She saw the trees. Halchalanasha. Ki bidalyoteyam tiknena. Because in this environment with trees, that's where she was what? Felt comfortable surviving. Okay. Okay. Among the many talents of the Ramban, he's a Kabbalist, he's this, he also knows, studies birds. Very nice. Good. Good. Now he's going to deal with the more serious issue. Flip the page. The more serious issue. Vihine, lo and behold, Ale Zayit Taraf Befiha. Mipshuto shel pasuk yera'eh. From the simple interpretation of this pasuk, it appears shelo ne'ekru ha'ilanot. Trees were not uprooted when during the mabul, velo nimchu ba'mabul, and were not eradicated during the mabul. Kilo hayasham nachal shotef. There was what? There was no brook, no rivers flowing. Ba'avur ki nitmale kol ha'olamayim. The whole world was full of water.
So it didn't flow from a dry, wet to a dry.
Correct. But all the trees survived. That's the simple shot. Trees survived. Would that come as a shock that the trees survived? If the water was way above every single tree, would that come as a surprise to you that the trees survived?
Yes,
it would come as a surprise. It would come as a surprise. That if you had water sitting on top of trees for who knows how many days, those trees would have been loosened from their roots and would not survive that this type of an experience. But the simple pshat is, they did. Because the text tells us, why is this simple pshat? Because the text tells us, what did the Yonah bring? An olive leaf, yes.
But the point of the mabul is to kill the evil people, or to destroy what Hashem created.
What is that?
The point of the mabul was to destroy the people who sinned.
Yeah.
It wasn't to destroy the world. So God just destroyed what he wanted to destroy. He kept the day and the night. And the
world. Okay.
And everything returned except the people.
It says l'shachet kol basar.
Right, and that's why animal kind as well. It's not plant kind. Good, that's the simple pshat, says the one. Why not argue? Good point. However, the Medrash does not believe this. Because physically, as everybody in this room really believes, it's impossible for trees to survive this type of an experience. Impossible for a tree to survive the type of experience to be submerged underwater for so many days and then just everything's back to normal as usual. Yes, the water's hot, salty, all kinds of things which are not terribly conducive to the growth of trees. Yes. Oh, ne'ekru, good, very good. Maybe it was just flying, exactly. Maybe it was not standing there like a normal tree in your backyard. It was floating around on the top of the water. Good, we'll see, that's going to be another suggestion. Good. But first the Ramban's going to introduce the Midrash. Abel Biberatius Rabba, Amru, Meheichan Heviya Oto. Where in the world did Yainala bring this leaf from? Answers the Medrash, Rabbi Levi Omar. Mehar Hamishcha Hevia Oto. Maza Har Hamishcha? Har HaZeitim. From Har HaZeitim? At that time, it was not yet a cemetery. So there were trees on Har HaZeitim. Now, what's unusual about Har HaZeitim? That the trees all over the world of what have been ruined, but the trees on Har HaZeitim have not been ruined. What's happening here? Why? Dilo tipat ara di Yisrael b'maya de mabula. That's the Zohar. Dilo tipat ara di Yisrael b'mayim de mabula. Not a drop of the waters of the Mabul came to where? Came to Eretz Yisrael. Hu shehakadosh baruch hu amar liYecheskel. This is what God said to Yecheskel. Ben Adam, Mister, emor lo eretz lo mituharahi velo gushma biyom zaam. It was not gushma.
Didn't
become into. It did not. The earth did not become into nothing on the day which I got angry. The Yom Za'am. What does that mean? What does that mean? I made sure that the waters of the Mabul did not reach Eretz Yisrael.
What about the people? That was my question.
What?
Did the people exist in Israel? Survived?
That's a different question. It's a different question. We'll see in 1 second. Rabbi Biyarei Omar. Niftechu lo shari Gan Eden vehevioso. All of Eretz Yisrael was brought to Gan Eden, and therefore it was not didn't reign in Eretz Yisrael. It was brought into Gan Eden during the interim time of the Mabul. Now, this Medrash and Zohar needs a little explanation. So the Ramban is going to attempt to say something. Vihine kavanatam. You must then say that this midrash is of the opinion, if it has to resort to the fact that the Alei Zayit came from where?
Eretz,
right? You have to come that there were no Alei Zayitim anyplace else. Why? Because they were destroyed. Shene'ekru ha'ilot v'nimchu b'mikomot hamabul. First of all, ne'ekru. Maza ne'ekru? They're uprooted. And what happened to nimuach? What does nimuach mean? Melted down. They became melted down in the course of the Mabul. All other trees. V'chein amru, so the Medrash says, afilu itzturabulin shel rechayim nimocho b'mabul. Even the what? The pillars of a millstone. Rechayim is a mill, which would be made out of with what lot? Powerful rocks. Powerful rocks were all melted down in the midbar during the Mabul. Vidarshu bo, and they were doresh the pasuk in Iyov, avanim shochaku mayim. Waters. What did they do to the stones? Like pulverized them completely disintegrated them. Uma amaram, and their statement to the midrash, dilo tipat ara di Yisrael b'maya de mabula, that not a drop of water came into Eretz Yisrael. Shelo hayala geshem hamabul kidechsiv lo goshma v'lo niftecha mayino tehom rabba. The underwater wells were not opened up in Eretz Yisrael in order to flood it. But the problem is, aval hamayim nishpashtu b'chol ha'olam v'kisu kol ha'horim ha'gvoim asher tachat kol ha'shamayim. You can have no waters raining in Israel. You can have no springs flooding the land. But if, next door in Egypt, what's going to happen? There's going to be a flood. What's going to happen? The waters are going to come to Israel. Yeah. How do you explain the fact that the waters didn't come into Eretz Yisrael? How do you explain that? Kemoshi katubi mefurash. Ve'ein saviv Eretz Yisrael geder la'akev hamayim shelo yavoba. And there is no wall erected around Eretz Yisrael to make sure that what? That the waters don't come in. So this is a little difficult. But the kach amru bepirkei de Rabbi Elazar. The same thought is to be found in another midrashic source, Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. Eretz Yisrael lo yorad aleha mei habalmu min ha-shamayim, ela nizgalgalu ha-mayim min ha-ratzot, v'nichnesu litocha. That it's not that what? It didn't, it's not that what? No waters were there at all. But what happened? The underground springs did not open up in Eretz Yisrael. So they just had water from where? From the rest of the land coming into Eretz Yisrael. V'hine, third line, the Das Rabbi Meir, mipnei shelo yorad ba'eretz ha'i hageshem ha-shotef, v'lo niftichu aler ha'bus ha-shamayim, nish'aru ba'ha'ilanot. So there is a difference, says the Ramban, trying to explain the Medrash, as to how the water enters into Eretz Yisrael. This water had to enter Eretz Yisrael. Why? Why? Because water travels everywhere. But there is a difference how it gets there. If the waters come down with the force directly from heaven, and the springs underneath are flowing below the, from below the earth, what happens to those trees? Those are uprooted and devoured. The water which comes into Eretz Yisrael is not direct rainwater. It's not from the underneath. It's just rain runoff from where? From other things. Trees were able to survive that runoff, and hence they were not uprooted. Therefore, explaining the Midrash explanation number one, that is why, claims the Ramban, the Yonah brings the Alei Zayit from where? From Eretz Yisrael, from Haram Mishcha. Oh, no doubt about it. The Medrash is trying to tell us something, that Eretz Yisrael is different than the rest of the lands. That's what it's trying to tell us. That it doesn't get... The land of HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gets overrun by anybody. Yes? That's correct. Don't forget, we don't know who the inhabitants in Eretz Yisrael were at that time. It was not Eretz Yisrael. Again, we have no evidence, we have no description in the Chumash what Noach actually saw when he came out of the Teva. You're right, by right he should have seen hundreds of millions of bodies lying around. But maybe they got disintegrated. We don't know. We don't know. Yes.
Doesn't it say that the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael went to Gan Eden? Did you say that?
No. No, it said that Israel was moved, all of Israel, to protect it from the rains. That was an alternate reading of the Midrash.
Not people.
But now the Ramban asks a very simple question against this Midrash. What is the purpose, what sign did Noah take away from the fact that the Yonah brought the Alei Zayit? What sign did he come away with? That the waters had receded. So what question is the Ramban going to ask on the Midrash? What?
It says...
So what's your question on the Medrash?
What good did it do him if they receded in Eretz Yisrael, if he was interned?
Of course.
Right.
If the leaf did not come from local grounds, but came 6,000 miles from Eretz Yisrael, oh, very nice.
Yeah.
How's that going to prove to him that the waters of the water, where he was going, receded? The Medrash undermines the Pasuk's intent.
Yeah.
The intention of sending the Yonah and getting the Alei Zayit is to prove to Noah that conditions are coming back to normal. The waters are settling. So if the Yonah grabs a leaf from a local area where he is, Noah can come to the conclusion, in a couple of days, Baruch Hashem, I'm out of here. The waters are receding. But according to the Medrash, the waters here could be as high as they were 6 weeks ago. How come the Yonah came back with what? An Alei Zayit? Because he went to Har HaZeitim. That's very nice. That's going to do Noah a lot of good in coming to his conclusion, Lir'ot ha'kekalu ha'mayim al ha'aretz. So the Ramban asks asks a very simple question. In Cain, lo yada Noah shekelu ha'mayim al ha'aretz.
He says nothing.
What?
He says another one.
No, but that doesn't answer the question. The question is, if the Medrash is trying to tell me something, so the Medrash has to be consistent with the text. And it's not. It undermines the purpose of the mission of sending out the Yonah. He comes to the completely wrong conclusion. Because he has no idea whether the waters are receding where he is or not. All he knows is, if he knows it at all, is that what? That in Eretz, on Har HaZeitim, there are trees growing. That's very nice. He's not in Har HaZeitim. Yes. I don't know exact. It says, Harare Ararat. Wherever Harare Ararat are, so you'll go ask Rabbi, what's his name from the Gush, to take you on a tour. And you'll go to Harare, I have no idea where it is. Harare Ararat. Does it, any place in the English translation even tell you where it is in the, does he say where those, Mount of Ararat, Ararat, in the commentary? Yeah. This is a continuation of the previous year. Yeah? What is that? So you're saying Noach did not have any evidence from the fact that he brought a leaf. That's why he waits another week and sends it again. Then he knows that something's going on because the bird doesn't return. Okay, perhaps. I'm just telling you that's the Ramban's question. How does the Midrash answer that question? Yes. The what?
Maybe he waited for 7 days, but maybe it says he was traveling. I mean, it wasn't both in a sense.
He traveled to Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, 7 days travel somewhere.
Oh, okay. It's possible. But it doesn't say that he went anyplace. You know, the text never says that he went anyplace.
So how about
it is not in Eretz Yisrael. Kardum? Kardum? I don't know. No commentary tells you where Harei Ararat is? None of your English commentaries? Turkey? Okay. Okay, in Turkey? Don't know. Now, the Ramban will ask a second question on this Midrash. That in Eretz Yisrael things were growing. Later on, we are told, we'll read it inside in a couple, probably next week. What did Noach do when he came out of the Teva? Don't look, if you remember. What did he plant? Good. Where did he get the seeds to plant a grape vineyard? So everybody says he took them with him. So the Ramban's going to ask, if Eretz Yisrael, everything is growing the way it should be, and the Alei Zayit comes from where? Come from Eretz Yisrael. What? He could have just taken a vineyard from where? From Eretz Yisrael. He could have taken, you know, if there's a connection. You know, the fact that he brings it, the fact that he had the foreknowledge to what? To bring the seeds of a vineyard to be able to plant it later is an indication that what did he understand is going to happen even to the plant life? Totally eradicated. That's correct.
But how would he know that Eretz Yisrael was going to be saved?
That's only the Medrash.
I know.
It's only the Medrash.
But he's asking a question on the Medrash.
I know. That's why he's challenging the Medrash.
Right.
Now, I want to take a look at Rashi. Rashi has a very interesting comment on the phrase Vihine. In let's read Pasuk Yud Aleph again. Let's read Yud Aleph together. Vatavo, once again, Elav. Elav, Ito. So that's that special relationship that what that Yonah had with that Noah had with the Yonah. Concern but every time. Le'et Erev Vihine Ale Zayit Taraf Befiha. So Rashi's going to ask, where else did you think a bird would be carrying a leaf? In its nose? In its feet? Maybe. Maybe. So Rashi's going to comment, citing a midrash, that the word befiha is totally unnecessary. Because 99% of the time, that's where they carry everything, especially food. So the text should have said, Behine ale zayit taraf. She had an ale zayit. Why did it have to have a befiha?
She turned
what?
She would be.
Okay, so Rashi talks about that this Yonah might be a zachar, a male. He talks about that. So look at the Rashi, taraf befiha. Rashi says, Omran she zachar ha. It was a male. Okay, fine. But that's not the point that I want. Look at Rashi towards the end where Rashi says, Vidarshu. Everybody have it? Midrash Agadah. Midrash Agadah. Got it? Lashon Mazon. What does Alei Zayit mean?
Food.
Okay, fine. Vidarshu. Bifiha Lashon Ma'amar. Masa Lashon Ma'amar? That the Yonah said something. When she brings back the Alei Zayit, or he brings back the Alei Zayit, he also says something to Noach at this time. And we have the exact text that was said. Amra, she said, now it's a lady. Yihiyu Mizonotai Mirurin. Kizayit biyadosh al Hakadosh Baruch Hu, velo mitukin kidvash bidei basar vadam. Let my what? My food always be as bitter as this olive leaf is, but it's in the hands of whom? Who's granting it to me? Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Rather than the sweetest food in the world, if it's provided by whom?
Man.
By man. Such is the message of the Yonah to Noach at this particular time. So, you don't have to be a great darshan to know that this is not the pshat. So what message is the Yonah trying to record to Noah at this particular time as he is about to leave the Teva?
Everything comes to
finish. A little sharper. A little sharper. You, Noah, are about to go out. You're about to leave the Teva. I know why you sent me out. I'm a little smarter than you are. I know. You want to see if the waters recede to go back and do what? And to start what? Life anew. And when you start life anew, you start planting and plowing and so on and so forth. And what impression does a farmer think after going through a whole cycle of plowing and planting? It's mine. It's my accomplishment. My accomplishment. Says the little Yonah Letanayah. You know what? Even if the food are the most bitter in the world, I'd rather have it in the hands from coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning I understand that who is its creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather than having the most juicy, luscious fruit in the world, than a person saying that what? It's my own creation. That's going to do me no good. That'll only lead to what? To another mabul. If people think that they are what? They are the masters of the world. And this leads into what? To the next chait that will be recorded in the text. Which chait will be recorded in the text? The Dor HaFlaga. Who they challenge in the Dor HaFlaga. Challenge the authority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this little message is a little message bird being sent to Noah as anticipating, I know what's about to unfold. There's a whole mabul. You think the world's going to learn its lesson? No. They're going to go back to the regular creation. They're going to think that they are the gods. They're going to challenge God, and God's going to have to do something again. Yes?
Isn't it shot more about freedom versus not freedom? Like birds free to go fly and find some food, but it's not good food, whereas Noah was feeding this bird, and this bird was indebted to Noah to be fed.
Okay.
Even if his food was sweeter and better.
But he's indebted. Okay, yes, you can say that. As I say, it's a medrash. You can say whatever you like. Yeah. It's an interesting medrash. All I'm saying is, HaMedrash Omer Darsheni. The Medrash says you have to say something about the Medrash. Like I've told you, Medrashim can record the text, can record the reality, and Medrashim are designed to teach us lessons about something and don't necessarily mean to share with us the actual reality. If you ask me, I don't think the bird said this at all. Because the word Torah Mafia does not mean that the bird was talking. That's not what the text means. So, I told you what the Rav always said about the Midrash. I told you 1,000 times.
Yeah.
That if you don't believe the stories in the Midrash could have happened, you're a heretic. If you believe that they did happen, you're a fool. So that's what he always said. That's a great line. You have to know when to interpret things, when they happened, when they didn't happen. But that's what the Medrash says, and that's what I suggest to you is what's running through the message, that it's leading to up to saying that, you know, man has to be involved, but he can't think too much of himself, thinking that I am responsible for this. Ultimately, it has to be the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible, and that will lead us into that chait of the Dor HaFlaga, which will continue in a couple of weeks. Okay, we'll stop here. There will be a class, regular class, next week. Are people coming?
Yes.
They're not going to be in 2 weeks. 2 days before Pesach, I know ain't nobody coming. Yes.
Between
what? Har HaMishkar. The oil, Har HaZeitim. Yeah. The Shemen HaMishkar comes from Har HaZeitim. Yes.
If we all didn't come from Eretz Israel,